ought to think about that. Get your church on before you get to church. It'll do you good that way. You get a little more excited, a little more lively. Y'all going to loosen up for us over with it. Get scared to death, one of the two. I grew up a little bit different, maybe. I grew up down in Millbrook, Alabama, went to Victory Baptist Church. And I'm going to wear this water. Went to Victory Baptist Church in Millbrook, Alabama. My dad was a preacher. He got called to preach around the time I was 9 or 10 years old, and he's been pastoring for 12 years at a church called Bible Believers Baptist Church in Thorsby, Alabama. So that's kind of where I grew up. And if you knew my dad, you see, he's a little bit different. You think I'm excited about what I preach about? My dad will run these pews right here. He's got a whole other level of excitement when he gets going. But that's kind of where I grew up. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about myself, but I'm probably going to wait till the morning service to do that. Just because I don't know who else will be here. But I don't want to kind of give you the same thing twice. So I'm going to kind of tell you a little bit more about my background when we get going in the morning service. This morning, I want to talk about just sitting here thinking about what I could kind of talk about during Sunday school hour. And I got to thinking, looking through some notes and things, and this one came up. And I thought about it earlier this week, thought about preaching it this morning, but God kind of had a different plan for me. So I decided I'm going to go with this for Sunday school. So let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. I pray that you just help me to be able to preach what I need to preach, Lord. Help me to be able to give the Word of God clearly, Lord. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to stand in the pulpit again, Lord. I don't take it lightly, Lord. It's not anything that I can do, Lord. It's all about you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins when I didn't deserve it, Lord. I pray that you just help us this morning to get something out of the Word of God, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, you know, you get to thinking about this world that you live in. This world that we live in, and everybody wants to be just like the world. That's just what you live in, right? Everybody wants to be like everybody else. Nobody wants to be different. And when COVID hit, it kind of even got a little worse. Because the people that used to be in the pews, they left. I get how this works, okay? Now, somebody that was so about being in church and being faithful to the Word of God, now all of a sudden they've just gone. And it's kind of saddened. It saddens me a lot. You see, I have two really close friends that were preachers. One of them, he doesn't even go to church anymore. Now, he preached the Word of God. He stood up in the pulpit. I used to take him with me. And we would go to these different churches, these little bitty churches needed pastors and things like that. And we would just preach. We'd do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday schools. And we would just get up and we would preach to them. And he was faithful to that. But now he doesn't even go. Doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God anymore. I got another friend of mine that he's kind of chased the money. Oh, me, right? He's chased the money. Here's the thing, folks. I'm going to clarify this real quick, okay? I don't need your money. I got a job. I work 40-plus hours a week. I got a job. God called me to preach. He didn't call me to get a paycheck. I appreciate everything every church ever gives me. It helps me, and I appreciate it. I think you ought to take care of the pastor. I think you ought to take care of the preachers. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but here's the thing. I've got a job. I cut a little grass. I have to make some extra money every once in a while. Guess what? I do what I have to do. I don't need your money. The church shouldn't be somewhere you're just trying to get an easy paycheck. And this friend of mine, he was such a good preacher, man. He was such a good preacher. And he'd get up there and he stood for something. He stood for the Word of God. And I'm a King James Bible man. Okay, I'm going to clarify a lot of stuff this morning. We're just going to get it all straight out there in front of you, okay? Ain't going to hide nothing from you. I got no reason to lie to you. I'm a King James Bible man. I believe it's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. I don't believe it needs to be corrected. I don't even believe it needs to be changed. I've studied it. I've proven it. I'm here to tell you, you can't tamper with the Word of God. Just leave it alone. But I got this friend, and he got educated. I ain't got nothing wrong with education. I've gone to Bible school. I ain't smart enough to finish it, but I've gone through it. Y'all gonna find that out too. I've gone to Bible school, and I think it can help you in the right place, right thing. I didn't go to seminary. I went to Bible school, a real Bible school where they teach the Word of God. That's where I went. This friend of mine went to the same Bible school. The same teachers I had, he had. But then all of a sudden, he changed. He decided that wasn't good enough anymore. Why? Because he's chasing a dollar. He had to be like everybody else. He had to be like the world. He had to go to Calvinism. Oh, me, right? He had to go get him an easy man's religion. One where you don't have to get out and do anything. You just are what you are. You're a part of the elect. That's a load of garbage right there. You ought to go get you some Bible. That'd do you some good right there. Bible don't preach that. But he's bought into that world. He's bought into all of that teaching and that philosophy, and he's gone to the John MacArthur school, and he's going through all that, and he got educated and realized that he thinks this isn't the Word of God anymore. And he's gone away. And I heard him preach last Sunday. Heard him preach last Sunday online. He got into a new church and heard him preach, and he won't even quote the Word of God anymore. He has to quote everything but that. He has to take every other perversion and try to make it fit. Why? Because it makes his way of thinking fit now. That's why they have to change it. And why do they do that? To be like the world. Why? Because they got to have more people. Why? To pad their pocket. They got to be like the world. They want to be just like the world. As a Christian, somebody that's saved by the grace of God, we should strive. We should not be striving to be like the world, but to be like Jesus Christ. Romans 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's simple scripture, right? You've heard it all your life. But it's so deep. The key to this verse is the renewing of your mind. Without this, we cannot prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word renew means making new again to repair. Now that ought to really get you right there. To renew, to repair. You're warped. You're broken. If you don't think you're broken, then you need to check up. I've been broken. I've been down to the bottom, folks. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can repair you. The Word of God is the only way you're going to get some renewing of your mind. You see, I go to so many churches. I've been to so many churches over the past probably year and a half. And they're all looking for pastors. Every single one of them looking for pastors. I know of 9 from South Alabama all the way up to Birmingham. Just in that little gap of space right there, there are 9 churches that are looking for pastors right now. That ought to concern you a little. Now, I understand you're looking for one too, but you can't hardly find one anymore. You can't find one that'll stand for anything. That's part of the problem. But you can't find one because they don't want to preach it anymore. If you don't have a big crowd, they don't want to come. Why? Because the world tells them what church is supposed to be like. I've been in the big churches, folks. I sang for 3 years with Gold City Quartet. I've been everywhere. I've been all over this country. I've sang in front of the churches that hold 3,000, 4,000 members. And I watched the preachers get up in the pulpit and give them nothing out of the Word of God. Not a single solitary thing. Why? Because if they don't do it this way, then the church won't grow. Because the world says you got to be this way. You know, used to we had standards. Used to the church was a little bit different, right? Used to be a little harder. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong here, okay? I'm going to say some things right here that used to be this way, okay? And I don't agree with all of them. I got a TV at my house, but they used to preach against that. I got one, okay? I ain't got nothing wrong with the TV. They used to preach the way we dressed, right? And I don't agree with all of it. I wear shorts. And if that offends you, I'm sorry. My ugly legs ain't hurting nobody, trust me. I wear shorts. My wife wears pants. Oh, no. But they used to preach on modesty. Ain't preaching on it anymore. It ain't about the pants. It isn't about the shorts. It isn't about the ties and the suits and all these things. It's about modesty. They used to have standards. They used to have some conviction about some things that we don't have anymore because it might offend somebody. Why? Because they're just trying to be like the world. They don't want to renew their mind. They don't want to truly get in their mind and say, you know what, God, fix me. God, change my life. Change my heart. Change me. That's what I want God to do to me, is change me. I'm kind of like Paul. I die daily, folks. I die daily to this flesh. You see, I'm not perfect. I understand. Everybody gets this idea that the preacher's supposed to have it all figured out. I go to the same kind of jobs y'all go to every single day. I hear the same garbage that you hear every single day. I get cussed out daily. Drives me nuts. And guess what? I'm fleshly. Sometimes I want to cuss them back. You sit there and say, well, oh, shame on you. Well, you didn't grow up like I did. Sometimes you want to get mean back, don't you? But guess what? I'm supposed to be like Christ, not like the world. Philippians 3 and verse 10. Philippians 3 and verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. We need to understand what Jesus did for us. That's how we start to have the right relationship with Him. You see, that's how you're going to start fixing your mind. Is to start having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we think that a relationship with Jesus Christ is just getting saved. No. See, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins so that you could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, now you have eternal life. Now you can start to build the relationship part of it. You see, when you get married, you don't really have that close of a relationship, right? Some of y'all have been married, you've been there. Some of y'all look like y'all still ain't got a relationship. Work on it. I promise it'll help you. Smile once or twice. It'll make me feel better. I don't care if you like me. I ain't got to come back, but just smile while I'm here. I should have brought my wife and my kids. At least they'd have laughed at me. But the thing with it is, if you're going to have a renewing of your mind, if you're going to change some things, if you're going to have a renewing of your mind and you're going to have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to start realizing what Jesus Christ did for you. You have to realize what Jesus Christ did for you. If you realize what Jesus Christ actually went through for you, you can start to have a relationship with Him. You can start to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. And guess what? He'll help you. He'll renew your mind if you're willing to have a relationship with Him. Just like I said, when you start to get married, you think you got it all figured out. You think you love each other so much and everything's so great and wonderful. And then you realize 10 years in, I can't stand them. He snores too loud. He's messy. He doesn't clean up grass. I'm just saying what I know. But over time, you start to build that relationship with them. And you realize that they're the most important thing in your life. Jesus Christ should be the most important thing in your life. They should trump your spouse. They should trump your kids. I love my children. I love my wife more than any person on this earth. I love my wife. But God is more important to me than those things. See, I want to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to live in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. Take your Bibles with me. I've kind of skipped through some scripture, so I didn't really want to get you there, but turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, see, I was smart this time. I have all my verses printed out on this piece of paper because I can't see real well. So that's the reason why I hadn't opened my Bible. But they all right here. I done copied them and pasted them because I can't see. Like I said, my contacts, they put out on me sometimes. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, some more familiar scriptures that you've heard. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Those are some pretty good scriptures right there, ain't it? You ought to say amen right there. Your salvation ain't got nothing to do with you. It's all about what Jesus Christ did. It's all about Jesus Christ. He went to this cruel Roman cross so that you could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gets over into Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It is a free gift of salvation, and it's unto everybody, but it's only upon them that believe. It's not even your faith. Oh, me. It's God's faith. Boy, when you wrap your mind around that, you can get happy in your salvation. It ain't got a single solitary thing to do with you. It's just all God. And it's all good. Get to those moments and times where you're sitting there going, "We really need a pastor. The church is falling apart. I don't know if we're going to be able to keep the doors open any longer. We ain't got the money coming in." And then it hits home, right? "We ain't got the money to pay the bills. I don't have enough time to spend with my children. And I don't know what to do next. Maybe I'm fixing to lose my job. Maybe I had surgery. That's tough. Maybe you don't know how you're going to do your work because you had to have surgery. And you're wondering how it's going to pan out." And guess what? Your faith wavers. You sit there and say, "God, I know you can fix it," but you don't really believe it. Why? Because you ain't got enough faith to. It can't be your faith. It's got to be God's faith. It's got to be all about God, folks. The one who died on the cross for your sins. The one who paid the ultimate price. And you sit there and say, "Well, Jesus Christ died." Yeah. He's still God. I'm going to clarify a bunch of things, and that's one of them I'm going to clarify. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they all the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah. And the Word was flesh. Woo! That's good. I don't care if you like it or not. That ought to right there, I'll tell you right there, that the King James Bible is the Word of God. That right there, clarified right there, just real good right there for you. In the beginning it was here, and then it was made flesh. Jesus Christ, it was made flesh. It was here in the beginning, and it'll be here in the end. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they try to twist it and correct it. It's still the Word of God. You start messing with the deity of Jesus Christ, you got a problem. You're going to have an issue. I don't like this pulpit. It tilts like that. If I ever pastor here, we're going to change that. It moves. Hallelujah. You can put a pin in there. I done fixed it. I ain't even the pastor. I don't know, man. Somebody made that design. I don't think God wants credit for that. Jesus Christ died on this cross for your sins. You need to have a renewing of your mind. You quit trying to be like this world. I know it seems simple, but it seems, and it sounds simple to not be like the world. But that's what we do every single day. That's how we live our lives. We want to be as close to the world as we can be. We don't want to change. We live in this world where everybody gets offended by every single thing you say and everything you do. Especially if you're Christian. And people don't want to, they don't want to rock the boat anymore. I get to thinking about, you know, I preach on hell. That'd be all right, we all, if I preach on hell every once in a while. I like to preach on hell because nobody preaches on it anymore. You see, if you realize where you can go, then you might not want to go there. If you really grasp what it is, it might change your mind and say, you know what? I don't think I want to spend an eternity there. So I preach on hell. I'm not afraid to. But I get the comments where you shouldn't do that anymore. And you know, that's what the new Bibles tell you. That's what those perversions say. When you're trying to cool it down, you're probably getting ready to go. Yeah, they try to tamper with it. And if I was the devil, that's exactly what I'd do. I would try to write it completely out of there. And I know how it works. They try to confuse you with all the different words and Hades and all these things, and they try to take the Greek and the Hebrew and they try to morph it into something and try to change it into this. I've studied a little bit, folks. And it don't take a genius to understand if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell. You're going to burn forever. You're going to get cast into the lake of fire. That's what's going to happen. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. So most people don't preach on it anymore because they don't want to offend somebody. Why? Because we got to be like the world. You got to be like everybody else. You got to just kind of fall into the mold of church. Whatever they think church should be, that's what you should be too, right? Why? Because you won't have children. The teenagers won't come to your church. You want to know my opinion on what teenagers should be hearing? I don't care if you like it or not, but they need to hear preaching. If it's good enough for you, why is it not good enough for them? That's what I heard all my life. I went to a church where they weren't afraid to just preach it to you. Now, we had our Wednesday night service downstairs. We had that. And it was fun. We got to play some games before we had church service. And we had some good times. We went out on visitation every Wednesday evening. We went on visitation. It was good. We had a good time. We went all over the community. We'd pass out tracts for the church. We would do all this thing. We'd come back. We'd play. We'd have a good time. We would mess around with each other. We had a school and everything there. So it was great. We had a good time. But when church happened, we had church. My uncle was the youth pastor at the time. He's the pastor of Victory Baptist Church now. But he was the youth pastor at the time, and he used to get up there and he used to teach us what the Word of God said. And you say, what do they need today? They don't need another program. They just need somebody to preach the Word of God to them. They don't need somebody that's going to sit there and go, hey, you can just do it however you want to and it's fine. No, they need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? So they're not like the world, so that at some point in time down the road, somebody else will be able to stand in this pulpit and preach it. You know, me and my dad talk a lot because, you know, he's a preacher and he's my dad. Just thought of that. We talk a lot, though, when we get to talking about Bible and different things like that. God called me to preach. I didn't want to, okay? I don't know why that keeps doing that. God called me to preach. I didn't want to preach, okay? I wanted to sing. I was happy where I was at. But God called me to preach. Daddy didn't call me. Mama didn't call me. God called me. Am I the best at it? No. No, I'm not. But I'm willing. I'll travel an hour and a half to preach to you every week. It don't make no difference to me. I just like preaching. It's what God called me to do. That's what He expects of me, is to preach. Well, we were talking about it not too long ago. We were talking about how everything's gotten so worldly. How everything's changed so much. And I think about, I got a three-year-old little boy. The most beautiful little red-headed little boy you have ever seen in your life. And he is straight up all boy. Amen. Amen right there, yes, sir. Boy wants to go hunting with me every time I go in a deer stand. He'll freeze to death, but he'd be right there with you. Every time I go chase a turkey, he wants to be there with me. By the way, if y'all got hunting land, I'm available. Throw that out there. I'm petitioning for something here. You ain't got to pay me, but if you got hunting land, I'm all for you. We were talking about my little boy, and we were talking about how, you know, I was called to God to preach the Word of God. And I believe God will call people throughout the ages. I don't believe it's going to stop. But I do understand that there's coming a day when things are going to change, and it's going to be hard to find somebody that believes that book right there. It's going to be hard to find somebody that believes the King James Bible is the Word of God. It's going to be hard to find somebody that preaches sound doctrine. It's going to be hard to find somebody that will rightly divide the Word of truth, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. It's going to be hard to find that person. And I sit back and think about my son. And I pray daily that I can teach him what the Word of God is. And how to believe it correctly. And how to rightly divide it, and how to have sound doctrine. And I can see the day where maybe he's not called to preach, but out of obligation he's got to get up and preach it because nobody else will. Just out of obligation. Just because he knows what's right and what's wrong. I hope it don't come to that, and I know God can call people, and I understand that God's not shocked by anything that happens. But there's coming a day when all of these kind of churches are going to dwindle away. We're going to move on. My generation's already got to the point that it's so bad. I can't explain why, except that they've turned to the world. They don't care about the Word of God anymore. They need to be fixed. They need to have their minds fixed. They need to have their hearts changed. And I know Jesus Christ is the one that can do that. But you've got to have to be willing. So I don't know what kind of state of mind you're in at this present moment in time. I have no idea. I don't know you people. I saw everybody come tell me your name. I ain't going to remember none of them. Not a single solitary one of them. I'm horrible with names. I will remember your face until the day I die. But your name, you're going to have to work with me on that. We're going to have to get stickers for your foreheads and stuff. He says, it ain't going to get no better. You're right, it ain't. It's dwindling down day by day. But the thing about it is, I don't know you personally. But are you at that place where you're virgin trying to be like the world? Maybe you need to have a renewing of your mind. Maybe you need to wake up just a little bit. Need some things to change. You need your heart to be pricked and changed. You need to get in the Word of God more often. You need to take some attention to reading. You ought to read it, even if you don't want to. There's been days I've read it when I didn't want to. This thing don't like me. There's been times where I didn't want to read it, but guess what? I just get up and do it anyways. Why? Because that's what God expects of you. That's a little bitty thing you can do, is just get up and read. Get up and pray. Get up and ask God to help you every single day. Study the Word of God. It'll change your life if you'll let it. And when the world comes up to you, it'll be a little bit easier to say, you know what? I don't want a part of that. I don't want any part of this world. I just want to be different. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to see souls saved. I want to see lives changed. I want to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. I want to be able to tell them if they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15, they can go have an eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what you're here for. You need to have a renewing of your mind. You need to quit trying to be like the world and be more like God. This morning, I know that's not your normal Sunday school lesson kind of thing, but like I said, I wasn't prepared. I got prepared. I don't know whether I wasn't listening or I wasn't told. It was probably I wasn't listening, because that's what my wife tells me all the time. So I hope that you got something out of the Word of God this morning. And I'm looking forward to preaching in the morning service hour. And I will tell you a little bit about myself and my background in that time. And we'll have just a good time anyway. And if y'all don't, I'm going to have a good time without you. I want to close in a word of prayer, and I'm going to let you handle that. Randall, Brother Randall, right? Randy? Close enough. You were close and I was close, so we're working on it.